Wednesday, the 30th of April, Yudla Omer, Rabbi Jonathan Dove, Sefira Saoma as a model for personal growth.
Good morning. At the very outset, I'd like to thank the organizers for inviting me to speak here today, and to all of you for attending. As I approach the subject of Sefira Saoma from two angles, the one obviously looking at it as a Jew, and the other perhaps not mutually exclusive as a psychotherapist. And that's how I came to the title of Sefira Saoma as a model for human growth. You see, some of the issues that I've confronted with some of the clients that I meet, particularly yeshiva bochrim, but it can be older individuals as well, is how to sustain growth, personal growth in Torah, mitzvot, gemulot, chasadim, as well as not getting despondent when the growth doesn't seem to be happening, which is probably one of the greatest pitfalls that we can confront in Yiddishkeit. It appears as if we're trying, but we're not growing. And we may feel as if we're stuck. I'd like to share with you a number of ideas that hopefully tie in and inform us more about the process of Sefira Saoma and of personal growth, and Sefira Saoma is somewhat of a model for that personal growth. First of all, let me share with you the following idea. Obviously, we're just a few days away from Pesach, and counting towards Shavuos. Pesach is freedom from slavery, freedom from bondage, and Shavuos is the freedom to dedicate ourselves to Torah. Once we've left Egypt, Shlach Es Ami, let my people go. That's Pesach. But V'yavduni, how to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we find out when we arrive at Har Sinai and we receive the Torah and understand then how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a marvelous insight into this process in Tzidkas HaTzadik of Rav Tzadok HaKohen. He says as follows, Reishis Knisas HaAdam LaAvodas Hashem, the beginning of a person entering into Avodas Hashem, Tzarech lihiyos b'chipazon, k'mo shematzinu b'Pesach Mitzrayim, needs to be with haste, as we find in Pesach Mitzrayim. Shehaya ne'achal b'chipazon, that was eaten in great haste, v'lo Pesach Doros, and not as we see as Pesach Doros. He describes what Pesach Doros is as well. Mipnei shehatchola, that the beginning, lenasek atzmoi mikol tavas olam hazeh shehu makusha bahem, that when a person wants to detach themselves from those aspects of olam hazeh which detract from our true avodas Hashem, tzarich lishmor harega, you have to guard that particular moment. So in the beginning, when a person wants to be manatek themselves, when they want to disconnect or detach themselves from what detracts from our avodas Hashem, what he terms here taivas ha'olam hazeh, that initial movement has to be b'chipazon, that has to be with haste. But that's just the very small initial movement of disconnection, of detachment from those particular aspects. V'achal kach, and afterwards, shuv yelech b'mesinus v'la'at, and afterwards the person has to proceed in a meticulous and slow fashion, kedin Pesach Doros, which is the din of Pesach Doros. Pesach Doros is, of course, as we just experienced not too long ago, is characterized by Seder. not by chipazon. It's characterized by seder. Everything has to proceed in an orderly fashion. And therefore he says, va'achar kach yeshuv yelech b'mesinus v'la'at. Slowly, surely, meticulously, kedin pesach dora. So those are the two phases. The initial detachment happens very, very quickly, but that's the very first phase. The second, much longer phase, is the mesinus v'la'at. Slow, but sure. And we have an outstanding example of slow but sure in the story that we've all heard about the beginnings of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, as we know, was somebody who, in the beginning of his life, had a real antipathy towards Torah, towards Talmidei Chachomim. He says of himself, the Gemara in Pesach says of himself, "Tenli Talmud Chacham v'aneshchenu kachomor." Give me a Talmud Chacham and I'll bite him like a donkey. And when his Talmidim asked, "Why like a donkey? Why not like a dog?" So he says, "Because a donkey not only tears the flesh, it breaks the bone. Right? It gets be'etzen." He had a great antipathy towards Talmidei Chachamim. But eventually, Rabbi Akiva has a tremendous turnaround in his life. And it seems that this particular turnaround, which led him to becoming from Akiva to the great Rabbi Akiva, is something that can inform us about personal growth, and I think is the greatest example of perhaps what it means, b'mesinus v'la'at, slow but sure, slowly and meticulously. So the in Avos Rabbi Nathan, in Perk Shishi, in Beis, it says, Mahiyat Chilosa Shel Rabbi Akiva. What was the beginning of Rabbi Akiva? What was the beginning of Rabbi Akiva? Amru, they said, Ben Abim Shana Haya Velo Shana Klum. He was 40 years old and he hadn't learned anything. There are those Mephoshim who are Madayat here, just by the way, that it says Velo Shana Klum, Miloshan Mishnah, that he knew Torah Shebichtav, but not necessarily Torah Shebal Peh. But we'll see later on that it seems as if he didn't seem to know Torah Shebichtav either. Pam Achas Haya Oimed Al Pi HaBe'er, he was standing next to a wellspring. Omar, he says, Mi Chikek Even Zu, who carved out this rock? It was a rock that had a concave receptacle in it where the water was gathering. And he asked, who carved out this rock? Amru Loi, his peers, the people standing around the Be'er at the same time, said to him, Amayim shetodir noflim aleho, b'chol yom. The water that's continually falling on this rock, that's what carved away the rock. Amru Loi, they said to him, and this is where we see that he may not have known Torah Shebichtav either. Akiva, they said to him, Akiva, Yata Kere, have you never read Avanim Shachaku Mayim? Water wears away rock. It's a pasuk in Iyov. Have you never seen that verse? Miyad Haya Rabbi Akiva Dan Kal V'Chaim Ba'atzmo. Immediately, Rabbi Akiva made the famous Kal V'Chaim, the a fortiori argument, the lesser to a greater case argument. Ma Rach Posel Esakasha. Here we have an example of water which is soft, which has no form of its own. Yet, it has carved away something that is hard, i.e. the rock. Divrei Torah, Shekasha Pebazel. The words of Torah that are literally hard as iron, meaning difficult, but literally hard as iron. Al achas kama vakama, Shiyachaku es libi shehu basavatam. Basavadam. How much more so they will carve away a place in my heart which is soft flesh and blood. Once again, the Kal V'Chomer. He says, water which is soft will carve away rock which is hard. How much more so the words of Torah, which are hard, will carve away a place in my heart, which is soft flesh and blood. Miyad chazer limud Torah. Immediately he went out to learn Torah. What kind of Torah did Rabbi Akiva go out and learn? It says, Halachu v'noim, he and his son went out, v'yashvu etzel melamde tinoites, and went to an Aleph Beis river. Amru loy, Rabbi, he said to him, Rabbi, lamdeni Torah, teach me Torah. Achaz Rabbi Akiva Barosh Aluach. Rabbi Akiva stood on the one side of what we would call the blackboard. Uvanoi Barosh Aluach. And his son on the other side of the blackboard. Kosov Loi, Aleph. He wrote an Aleph. Beis, Velomda. And they learned. Continues and says, Hayaloimed Vahoilech. Ad shulamad kol ha-Torah kulo. And he continued in such a fashion until he'd learned kol ha-Torah kulo. And this isn't a kind of a biography. This is obvious the Rabbi Nassim say. He continued in this fashion ad shulamad kol ha-Torah kulo until he learned the entire Torah. So the question that needs to be asked over here, once you hear the question, if you haven't heard this question, it'll seem so unbelievably obvious. I heard this particular question said over in a sicha of Rav Meir Chodesh Zatzal, but if you're looking for it, you can find it written up in Or HaTzofon, which are the writings that were recalled primarily by Rav Meir Chodesh, but other Talmidim of the Alter Slobodka, and with some of the ideas that the Alter Slobodka mentioned in his sichas. So it's in Or HaTzofon, it's a sicha that's entitled Koicha de Nekudas Ruchnis, the power of the drop of a drop of spirituality, which is a beautiful way of setting this idea out, as you'll see. Here we have the example. Let's go back. Rabbi Akiva arrives at the wellspring. There are other people at the wellspring. He sees this rock has been, there's a concave impression in the rock, and he says, who carved out the rock? He asks peers who are standing around there. The peers can explain to him, meaning his colleagues could explain to him that the water that's continually falling on the rock, that's what carved away the rock. Not only could they explain it to him, but they could substantiate it from a verse in Iyov Avonim Shachaku Mayim, that water carves away rock. Rock is carved away by water. Yet we don't see them, whoever was answering Rabbi Akiva, I imagine that they were the other shepherds, becoming great. And we do see Rabbi Akiva taking some lesson away from this, that he makes this famous Kal Vachomer of his and eventually goes out to learn. Not eventually, he goes miyad out to learn and becomes the great Rabbi Akiva, who's renowned from one end of the world to the other. And the altar, as I heard it said over by Rav Meir, the altar asked the question, what did Rabbi Akiva see in this event that inspired him to change to such a great extent that he became the great Rabbi Akiva, which was seemingly lost on the other individuals, despite the fact that they knew the process and could even substantiate it from a verse? What did he see that inspired him to want to actually go out and sit by a Melamed Tinoikas? He was 40 years old and he's going to go to an Aleph Beis Rebbe and says, Rebbe, teach me Torah. Right? Forget his pride, whatever he's going to do, he needs to learn Torah. What inspired him so? So the way it was explained is as follows. The other people standing around the Be'er understood the process. But the way they saw the process is that it takes years, decades, centuries, for rock to eventually be carved away by water. When they applied that to themselves, In other words, if they were to think of themselves becoming Talmidei Chachamim, they would say, sure, a Talmud Chacham. But it takes years, decades. And therefore they didn't apply it to themselves. They thought, yeah, Talmidei Chachamim, they've been at it for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. They didn't think that they could apply it to themselves. Rabbi Akiva looked at it in a different way. Rabbi Akiva said, where did this process begin? And he had to conclude logically that the process had to have begun with the very first drop. That the very first drop, soft as water, fell on the rock. And if we were to look in those days with the naked eye, you were to look at the rock, seemingly no impression has been caused at all. But Rabbi Akiva knew that some impression had to have been caused for the next drop to contribute to it. So that eventually by the thousandth or the 10,000th or the millionth drop, eventually you have a hole appearing in the rock. But he knew it began with the very first drop. And therefore, if the process, despite the fact that it takes hundreds of years for a rock to eventually be carved away by water, if it begins from the very first drop, then that's something that I can apply to myself. Then Abim Shana Velo Shana Klum. If you take it simply, he hadn't learnt anything at all. Seemingly from later on in the story, he's learning other things, so that seems Yitzhak knew nothing. So, how is Aleph Beis eventually going to make him to the great Rabbi Akiva that we know about? The way to understand it, says the Alter Slobodka, is to understand that every single drop of spirituality counts, causes an impression so that the one drop contributes to the next, and eventually it will become a recognizable impression that will be caused upon us and upon anybody embarked upon this process. One of the greatest enemies that we can have in growth, in Ruchnias, is to think that what we're doing is something that's insignificant. Yeah, I'll give a little bit of tzedakah. I'll learn for 10 minutes here and there. But what's it worth overall? There are people who learn for hours. Not 10 minutes is better than no minutes at all. And that's really the lesson. One drop is worthwhile because the next drop will contribute to that, and the next drop will contribute to that. And that's why the act title, the way it's entitled in Ora Tzofon, is Koicha de Nekudas Ruchnias, the power of the drop of spirituality. After the Sicha with Reb Meir Chodesh, we used to have a vibe. There was a group of four or five of us who have a vibe with Reb Meir, and afterwards we asked him, so what's our avoider that emerges from this particular schmooze? What's the avoider that we should do? So he said in his usual brief way, he said in Hebrew, Anachnu tzichim litzaref tipa latipa. We have to make sure that each drop joins with the other. It's not just that you have, if you imagine the example that we have with Rabbi Akiva, if a drop fell on that rock in January 2006, and then another drop in February 2007, and another drop, that's not going to cause a tremendous impression. But if, you know, on Rosh Chodesh Iyar one drop falls, and Beis Iyar another drop falls, and Gimel another drop falls, then you can be sure that after a period of time that rock will be carved out. So he said, "Anachnu tzichim litzaref tipa latipa." We have to join one drop to the other. You need the consistency to make sure that it really does cause an impression. And therefore, we come back to the idea of Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer, we're counting every single day. We know the way we paskin. At least it affects the brocha. If you skip one day, you no longer continue counting. I'm not speaking as a posek in any way, but it's seemingly common knowledge. You skip one day, one 24-hour period altogether, you no longer continue counting with the brocha. You still continue counting, but no longer with the brocha. Why? Because each and every day is a mitzvah on its own, but it seems, according to those poskim, that the entire period of Sfiras HaOmer is a integral unit. It's one unit that is made up of all those many days. If you skip one altogether, then the unit is no longer complete. And therefore, we do not continue counting if you skip a whole 24-hour period. There you have a shining example of a day-by-day count where the most important attribute of the counting is consistency, one day after the next, without skipping any days in between. If you think about it, you know, here's a slave nation that are being brought out of Egypt, Mitzrayim, you know, going to arrive at Har Sinai. You know, if we make sure that each and every drop counts, that's probably the only way that they could ever brought about the sort of changes in mindset that would have allowed them to arrive at Har Sinai to receive the Torah. And we can apply that to ourselves as well. You know, each and every day there's some aspect of avodah that we can work on. And as long as we use each and every day and make sure that there's a consistent effort, a contributive effect of one day after another, then it has tremendous power to cause an impression upon us and to bring about the kind of changes that we're looking to make in order to arrive at a shvus and to be makabel Torah once again. You know, some years ago, I have to say lahavdil as far as this example is concerned, but some years ago I did a program, an internship with Rabbi Twersky in the United States, and he set up an organization called Gateway Rehabilitation Center where they used to deal with people who were addicted to drugs and alcohol, in certain instances very, very powerful addictions. And I remember arriving in order to embark upon this program, and as you arrived it said, "Welcome to Gateway Rehabilitation Center." And on the back of the self same sign it said, "One day at a time." Meaning when you arrived it said welcome, and on the back of that sign as you were exiting it said, "One day at a time." Where does that come from? That there are programs to help people get off of substance abuse and misuse, and one of the aphorisms, one of the sayings that these programs use is one day at a time. Because if you were to tell somebody who has a tremendous addiction, you're never ever going to touch that substance again, right? If you're thinking about taivas olam hazeh, there's no greater taiva than some of the addicted substances. And if you tell the person, you know, okay, you're coming today, from tomorrow you're never ever going to touch it ever again in your life, the person would feel so overwhelmed that they'd probably just leave the program, turn their back on it, and not even try. But if you tell them, you know what, just for today, don't use that substance. Do whatever you can do, and we'll give you skills and tools on how to get through today without using that particular substance. And then tomorrow, just for today, just make sure you do the same thing. You have the skills, you have the tools. Just get through today without using that particular substance. And then one day at a time, a person, those days become weeks, and the weeks become months, and the months become years and decades. To the extent that Rabbi Twersky tells the story that he once met somebody at a convention who had been a patient in Gateway, and he asked the person, "How long have you been clean for?" Meaning, how long have you not been using these substances for? And the person thought for a bit and he said, whatever it was, you know, 3,600 days, something along those lines. So he worked it out quickly in his mind. "You mean so many years?" So he said, "No, if I think about years, I won't manage." But one day at a time, it ended up being all these thousands and thousands of days. True, it added up to years, but for him, in that particular instance, it's still one day at a time. And we see that through that one day at a time, it has tremendous power to will change in a person's life, when in the most extreme situation of Taivas Olam Hazeh, meaning what they say in Hebrew, what's called hitmachut, where you've been addicted to a particular substance, which is just an example, by the way, of self-defeating behavior. It's a very extreme example of self-defeating behavior. But if we take all other kinds of self-defeating behavior, low self-esteem, procrastination, laziness, whatever it is that we want to work on, then if we say, just for today, I'm going to work on getting things done in the way that I want to do it, Tomorrow is another day. Tomorrow when I wake up in the morning, I say, okay, just for today, I'm not going to procrastinate. I'm going to do everything that I need to do today in the order that I need to do it. And not, and so on and so forth. A person, through doing that, eventually the changes that come about are tremendous. And we see the example, in a concrete example, of Rabbi Akiva. Just to end off with a story that Rabbi Twersky tells over, which also I think is a tremendous reflection of how to attain personal growth in a sustainable and consistent fashion, which is really what we're looking for. Isn't that so? Not too often, but on occasion I come into contact with somebody who's learning in yeshiva. He says, you know, when I arrive at the beginning of Zman, for the first 2 weeks, it's wunderbar, you know, learning 15, 16 hours a day. And then after that period of time, you know, the person is not seen in the base medrash, she feels a little bit burnt out, etc., etc. And how to get over those hurdles, how to sustain that growth, how to arrive and do things in a way that's going to be able to consistently, in a sustained way, allow us to continue growing. So Rabbi Twersky tells a story that he was once taken to see a salmon farm. And salmon are rather peculiar fish. What happens is they are spawned in a certain area, and then they swim downstream, getting larger and larger and larger. And then towards the end of their lives, when they're going to reproduce, they swim upstream back to the exact place that they were spawned in. They've tested this out because they've tagged the fish. It's quite amazing, how the salmon arrive at the exact same place. But they swim to the exact same place that they were spawned in, there to spawn, to give offspring of their own. And in certain instances, the fish die in that particular area as well. And he watched how they'd constructed. Obviously, water flows downwards, and if the salmon are swimming in a natural habitat, they're swimming upstream against little small cascades, waterfalls, etc. And the way they constructed this was in a similar fashion. Small cascades, then a pool, another cascade, another little waterfall, another pool. And he watched these fish for a while, and he noticed that although they have a tremendous journey to complete, to swim upstream, meaning going against the flow is pushing them downwards and they want to go upwards, what they do is they jump up one cascade and they'll never do two in a row. They jump up the one cascade, the small little waterfall, and then they swim around in the pool gathering their strength. And then they jump up the next one. If they miss the one cascade, meaning they jump up and then they push downwards, they don't attempt a second attempt straight away. They gather their strength and then leap up again. And he saw in this idea a moshel, once again, of personal growth. When a person's going to embark upon growth in Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, it should be in a step-by-step fashion, one day at a time, not taking too many leaps, being guided, making sure that the growth that they undertake is sustainable. If the fish in this particular moshel were to swim too quickly upstream, then it could lose all its koichas and just by the pressure of water be schlepped all the way downstream again. But if it maintains its koich and grows leap by leap, upwards, ever upwards, then it can actually attain the particular goal that it's looking for. The nimshel, of course, to our lives is the same thing, that we're looking to undertake growth, to realize our noble vision of where we want to arrive to be, try and be the best of the Hashem that we can. But the way to do it is in a step-by-step fashion, to ensure that that whatever growth is undertaken on a daily basis is consistent, that one day joins with the next, that one drop of spirituality joins with the next, and in so doing, a person can attain tremendous things in personal growth, in Torah, in Avodah, and in Gemilas Chasadim. Thank you.